We're now going to have our Bible reading. If you have a Bible with you, please turn to Luke chapter 12, verse 49. If you don't have a Bible, please put your hand up. One of our stewards will bring one to you. We're on page 1045 in the church Bible. 1045. Luke chapter 12, verse 49. The Lord Jesus is speaking. And he says these words, "I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is completed. Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on, there will be five in one family divided against each other. Three against two, and two against three. They will be divided, father against son, and son against father. Mother against daughter, and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law." He said to the crowd, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say, 'It's going to rain,' and it does. And when the south wind blows, you say, 'It's going to be hot,' and it is. Hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time? Why don't you judge for yourselves what is right? As you're going with your adversary to the magistrate, try hard to be reconciled to him on the way, or he may drag you off to the judge, and the judge turn you over to the officer, and the officer throw you into prison. I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny." Amen. Please turn back in your Bibles to Luke chapter 12. As you're turning there, let's pray and ask for God's help this evening. Father God, there are things that you want us to be so certain about that you have written them down for our benefit. Help us to see the truth of your word this evening and these words of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Now, as Johnny said as we arrived, many of us here at EEFC have been over at the town show in the park. And we've been asking people who they think Jesus is. And we had what looked like a bit of a white wardrobe with posters saying, "Who do you think I am?" The question that Jesus asked. And we invited people to write down their answer and stick it up on the board on little post-it notes like these. Now, there were some terrific answers. One of the most popular was, "Jesus is the Son of God. And when I was brave, I would follow that up with, 'So what does that mean?'" And the reply often that would come back was, "I don't know." And that's one of the big answers we had. "I don't know. I don't know." Some of the other answers we had were, well, like this, "A symbol of hope and healing." 2 15-year-old lads shared with me, "He's some dude up in the sky." And one that really struck me, "I don't think anyone has an answer. I don't think anyone has an answer." You know what it says to me? There is lots of confusion out there about who Jesus is. Lots of confusion. And if that's with strangers in the park that we don't know, it's pretty safe to assume there's lots of confusion with our loved ones who don't know the Lord Jesus either. And if they don't know the Lord Jesus, they don't know his love and his grace and his mercy. And if they've never thought about the Lord Jesus, they don't know that one day He's coming back to judge the earth. The Bible says that will be an awful day for people who don't know the Lord Jesus, who have never thought about him carefully, who have never accepted him as their Lord and Savior. Now, I've started with somber words tonight. I have. Because I think in this passage here this evening, the Lord Jesus is using somber words himself. I think he's saying here, there is a time, there is a place where we need to ask. No, it's stronger than that. We have to plead with people to carefully consider who Jesus is and why he's come. And that's what we've been trying to do in the park these past couple of days. We want people to consider carefully before it's too late. In case you hadn't noticed, that's not a very popular message. And we've seen that even this weekend, some hostility, some aggression towards us. We'll see in this passage, that's to be expected. If you're facing that aggression, you're not doing something wrong, Jesus says. That's going to come. But there's a responsibility on those of us who love Jesus to make him known. And actually even to warn people about what's coming. In fact, that's one of the most loving things that we can do for people who don't know the Lord Jesus. I've got three very simple headings this evening. Just to point us to how are we to respond to these words of Jesus. Here's the first one tonight. Division is coming for believers in Jesus. Let me read you his words again. Verse 49, I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is completed. Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. Now you're sitting there probably thinking, is that right? Is that what Jesus, did he really say that? I've not come to bring peace, but division. What about those verses we read, you know, at Christmas time? When the angels announce his birth, and they sing and they shout out, peace on earth. Or perhaps the Christmas carols, where we sing about Jesus being the Prince of Peace. Or the song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, we sing peace on earth and mercy mild. And there's a danger that we misunderstand the kind of peace that Jesus has come to bring. He's not the United Nations come to sort out border disputes. And nor is he a throwback to the 1970s, driving a VW camper van with flowers in his hair, spreading around a general message of peace and tranquility and love. He's come to bring a very specific peace. Peace between men and women and God. A very specific peace. Why do we need peace with God, you might be asking? Because of our sin. The Bible says that each one of us has done wrong. And if I were to talk to you for a little while tonight, as I talked to many people this weekend who thought their lives were, actually, I'm all right. There were times they looked back on with regret. Things that they wish they hadn't done, hadn't said. Places they wish they'd never been. So many regrets. And the Bible says that those sins, those things that we've done wrong, where we've turned against God, where we don't want to know him, where we don't want to know his way, we want to go our way. Our sins put us at war with God, at war. There is no peace between us and God. We are at war because of sin. We don't want to know his way. We don't want to go his way. We want to do our own thing. We are at war. And the Bible promises that one day God is going to bring an end to the war. One day the war will be over. And sin and evil and injustice, all those things are going to be destroyed. They're going to be done away with. And sometimes the Bible describes how that great end time judgment will be. It's called judgment by fire in one place in the Bible. Look at verse 49 again. What's Jesus come to bring? Fire on the earth. It's Jesus who's going to bring that end time judgment by fire. He's going to be the one who brings it. He's going to be the one who destroys evil and sin. He's going to be the one who brings an end to the war. And if there's no peace between us and God, we'll be destroyed because of our sin. And look, Jesus says here, how I wish it were already kindled. Not because he takes great delight in the death of wicked people. It's not because of that. He wishes it were already kindled because he longs for the day where sin and evil are going to be no more and there is going to be peace between God and his creation. And he longs for that day. And if we were to end there, it would be quite bleak. But in the very next verse, he says he has a baptism to undergo and how distressed he is until it is completed. You know, when we have a baptism here at EEFC and someone goes down under the water, and that's a symbol that they're saying goodbye to their old way of life, that there is a death. And they come out the other side raised to new life, life with Jesus. The baptism here that Jesus is talking about isn't his baptism in the River Jordan by John the Baptist. It's the baptism of his crucifixion and death, where he is not symbolically plunged down into death. He actually dies. And as he dies, the Bible says that he takes all the punishment for my war against God on himself and brings peace. Peace with God. Jesus brings an end to my war by taking the punishment for my war. The Prince of Peace, who had only known peace with God, he suffers no peace. He suffers distress so that I may know peace with God. Isn't that a wonderful thought this evening? The Lord Jesus takes the punishment for my sin, my war, so that there can be peace between me and God. In the same sentence where he says he's going to come and bring judgment, he tells us how we can escape it by turning to him and trusting in him. And our war with God is over. And there can be peace between us and God. Now, you might think the message of this is really clear, that we need to turn from our sins and believe in the Lord Jesus. That's true, by the way, let me say that. But Jesus applies it slightly differently. Because remember who he's speaking to here. He's speaking to his closest followers. He's speaking to his disciples. He's speaking to those we would consider believers in him already. And he says, from now on, there will be five in one family divided against each other. Three against two, two against three. They will be divided, father against son, son against father, mother against daughter, daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. This message of the cross of the Lord Jesus is going to divide us from people. And we are not going to be liked if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus because of it. It's not a popular message. and people are going to dislike us. And the really difficult thing here that Jesus says, it's going to even come from family members, not total strangers. Some of you folks have lived through that. Some of you folks are living through that right now. And I want to encourage you this evening that you're not doing anything wrong. That Christian parents and grandparents are a great gift from the Lord. But Jesus says here, that's not the norm. The norm is hostility and division. And you're not doing something wrong. I want to encourage you with those words tonight. You're not doing something wrong. They dislike you because they dislike Jesus. And our response as believers in the Lord Jesus is, how are we going to respond when our family are hostile towards us? How do we best love our family when they say those things to us, when they try and wind us up, when we're having a meal and they're trying to twist the knife? Will we reply with sinful words or godly words? When they really try and get that rise out of us, are we going to turn around with equally sinful, harsh words, or are we going to love them and care for them and pray for them? Are we going to take every opportunity? And I know that trying to witness to family is what some of the hardest places to talk about the Lord Jesus. But will we love them? Because we know what's coming if they don't know the Lord Jesus. We know that he's coming to bring judgment. And we long for them to be saved. So as believers in the Lord Jesus, we should expect division. Then Jesus turns to the crowd. He turns to the crowd. And he says some strange things to them. Let me read the next few verses from verse 54. He said to the crowd, when you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say, it's going to rain, and it does. And when the south wind blows, you say, it's going to be hot, and it is. A few months ago, when we lived in Nottingham, as part of our farewell tour of the area, we went to a place called Chatsworth House. It's a big country estate in Derbyshire, the kind of place where they would film Pride and Prejudice. Lovely, lovely grounds. And we were into the shop, and I found this little book of country wisdom, as they call it, saying Red Sky at Night. It's the kind of thing where, you know, it teaches you how to keep bees. And by the way, the best way of keeping bees is to talk to them, so the book says. And it tells you all the different ways that you could skin a rabbit, if that is something you want to do. But this week I looked at all the ways in which people tried to think about the weather in the days before 24 News and weather satellite updates. You might have heard some of the expressions. Red sky at night, shepherd's delight. Red sky in the morning, shepherd's warning. We had our own phrase. Red sky at night, there's a warehouse on fire. That's another story. Here's another one. When the wind is out of the east, 'tis never good for man or beast. Whatever that means. Here's a third one. Rain before 7, fine by 11. Certainly not in the west of Scotland. Now, we wouldn't put much trust in those kind of things. We would get a phone out, or we'd turn the telly on and look at 24-hour weather reports. But in the days before those things, people would put some stock, at least, in looking out for signs of the weather changing. And it was the same in ancient Israel in Jesus' day. If they looked and the wind was coming from the west, how you tell the west, I'm not sure, but they would know that rain was coming. And if it was a wind from the south, that was from the desert, and so it was really hot. And if you're a farmer in those days, these things mean a great deal. And people would think long and they would think hard about what the weather was going to do. They would really pay attention, because to them it was a matter of life or death. And Jesus turns to the crowd, having spoken to his disciples, and said, "You guys who think long and hard about the weather, won't you think long and hard about this time? Or to put it another way, won't you think long and hard about the Lord Jesus? Won't you think long and hard about the things he said? Think about all that he's done. Think about all the crowd have seen. They've seen the dead brought back to life. They've seen blind people see, deaf people hear. They've seen, you know, the feeding of the 5,000 and so on and so on. And Jesus says, think about all those things. Consider for yourselves. Judge wisely what you've seen and what you've heard. And what do you make of it? The same application that you show towards the weather, show that towards me. And what conclusion do you come to? What conclusion do you come to? Look what the Lord Jesus says in verse 56. Hypocrites, hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time? The Lord Jesus was right there in front of them, telling them to turn back to God. They had seen with their own eyes all that he had said and done. And they would not judge carefully for themselves who he is, what he had done, what he was going to do. And I would say to you here this evening, maybe this is your first time in the building. Maybe you've been coming for weeks and years hearing about the Lord Jesus. I want to ask you the same question the Lord Jesus asks in verse 57. Why don't you judge for yourselves what is right? Won't you think carefully tonight, right now, about the Lord Jesus? Have your sins separated you from God? Do you need to be brought back? Do you need to be reconciled to God? Has the Lord Jesus died to bring that peace between you and God? Is the Lord Jesus coming back to judge the world? Judge for yourselves very carefully this evening about the Lord Jesus. Consider wisely all that he's said and done. Please, please do that. For those of us who are believers in the Lord Jesus, there's a responsibility, as I said at the start, on us. Because some people who have never heard about the Lord Jesus don't know the signs. They don't know what to watch out for. That first line in the Gospel of Mark says the good news of Jesus Christ. Sorry, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Mark's Gospel that we've been handing out this weekend. What does the Son of God mean? No idea. People don't know the signs to look out for. We've seen that all weekend. And we have to show them, we have to point them towards the right signs. I've got a whole bunch of these under here. And in fact, we've got a box of these upstairs. One of the best ways that we can point people to look at the signs of Jesus is to sit down and read this with them. Perhaps you're going to go into work tomorrow, school, wherever you are tomorrow. And people will ask, what have you been doing this weekend? I've been asking people who they think Jesus is. Who do you think he is? Would you like to find out? Would you like to sit down and read about him and I can help point you towards the signs so that you can consider him carefully yourself. Come and grab one of these off me at the end, please. Because people don't know the signs. And we have to point them and we have to ask them. Read the signs. Consider carefully who Jesus is and why he's come. Lastly, tonight, the Lord Jesus, again, still speaking to the crowd, tells this little parable. Verse 58, as you're going with your adversary to the magistrate, try hard to be reconciled to him on the way, or he may drag you off to the judge, and the judge turn you over to the officer, and the officer throw you into prison. I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. For those who won't consider the Lord Jesus carefully, who won't judge wisely, the Lord Jesus gives this loving warning to them. A very loving warning. He describes a scene where a man with all the evidence against him, it's stacked up. Even the man himself knows he's guilty. And he's thinking of going to court. And the Lord Jesus says, well, if you knew the evidence was stacked up against you, and you knew you were guilty, you would want to do something about it before you got to court. I don't know if you remember a few months ago, the head of Formula One, the wee fella, Bernie Eccleston, that's his name. He was approaching a certain trial for alleged bribery. Alleged, I have to say that. He managed to settle out of court for £60 million. Now, the irony of paying to get out of bribery charges aside, and I'm not speaking about his guilt either way here, but he knew there was trouble coming. And he used the time and his resources, as great as they were, to make sure that that never happened. He used the time wisely to make sure that that never reached the judge. And the Lord Jesus asks people to judge wisely right now. Oh, you can have your day in court. You can stand before God at the end. But you will pay the punishment for your sins. You'll pay every single penny. And it will be too late. Because the evidence is stacked up against you. And you're guilty. The good news for us tonight, as we sang in one of our songs, that the Lord Jesus pays the debt. He wipes the slate clean. The Lord Jesus, as he dies on the cross, pays our penalty. So that when that day comes, we don't have to be scared. We don't have to be worried. We won't pay. He has paid every penny so that I don't have to pay at all. But if you don't believe him, if you won't judge wisely, you'll pay every penny. And that's an awful day. What will you do tonight? Will you carefully consider these words of Jesus? Will you think long and hard about what he said? Will you come to him and turn to him and ask for his mercy, his grace that you don't deserve, his sacrifice in your place to wipe the slate clean, and you can go free? As I've prayed and thought about this for my own life and my own soul this week, it's encouraged me that there are so many people out there who don't know the Lord Jesus and will pay every penny themselves. We don't take delight in that. We long for men and women, for boys and girls, to come to know the Lord Jesus, to seek out his mercy. As you're at the school gates tomorrow, as you go to your desk, will you ask people to think and consider and choose and judge wisely about the Lord Jesus? Let's pray. Father God, these are solemn words tonight. These are somber words. But we're not here to scare people. We're here to lovingly tell them the truth. That there will be a day of judgment, but we can be rescued if we were willing to turn to the Lord Jesus. For those of us who have done that, Lord, we are grateful. We thank you for your mercy that's been shown to us. Help us this week as we seek to share the good news of the Lord Jesus with others. Help us to be thinking about who we can be sharing this Gospel of Mark with. We can sit down and read it and point them and share with them the signs so that they will not pay every penny on that final day. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.